The morning sun shone. Dew bejeweled the lakeshore grasses, and the calls of nesting shutra birds carried sweetly on the breeze. Lady Mara of the Acoma savoured the air, soon to give way to the day's heat. Seated in her litter, her husband at her side and her two-year-old son Justin napping in her lap, she closed her eyes and breathed a deep sigh of contentment. She slipped her fingers into her husband's hand. Hakanu smiled. He was undeniably handsome and a proven warrior, and the easy times had not softened his athletic appearance. His grip closed possessively over hers, his strength masked by gentleness. The past 3 years had been good ones. For the first time since childhood, she felt safe. Secure from the deadly, unending political intrigues of the game of the council. The enemy who had killed her father and brother could no longer threaten her. He was now dust and memories, his family fallen with him. His ancestral lands and magnificently appointed estate house had been deeded to Mara by the emperor. Superstition held that ill luck tainted a fallen family's land. On a wonderful morning such as this, misfortune seemed nowhere in evidence. As the litter moved slowly along the shore, the couple shared the peace of the moment while they regarded the home that they had created between them. Nestled between steep, stone-crested hills, the valley that had first belonged to the Minwanabi lords was not only naturally defensible, but so beautiful it was as if touched by the gods. The lake reflected a placid sky, the waters rippled by the fast oars of a messenger skiff bearing dispatches to factors in the holy city. There, grain barges poled by chanting slaves delivered this year's harvest to warehouses for storage until the spring floods allowed transport downriver. The dry autumn breeze rippled golden grass, and the morning sun lit the walls of the estate house like alabaster. Beyond, in a natural hollow, Force Commanders Lu Jan and Zandia drilled a combined troop of Acoma and Shinzawe warriors. Since Hakanu would one day inherit his father's title, his marriage to Mara had not merged the two houses. Warriors in Acoma green marched in step with others in Shinzawe blue. The ranks patched black here and there by divisions of insectoid Chojar. Along with the Minwanabi lands, Lady Mara had gained an alliance with two additional hives, and with them, the fighting strength of three more companies of warriors bred by their queens for battle. An enemy foolish enough to launch an assault would invite swift annihilation. Mara and Hakanu, with loyal vassals and allies, between them commanded a standing army unsurpassed in the nations. Only the Light of Heaven's own imperial whites, with levies from other houses under his sovereignty, would rival these two armies. And as if fine troops and a near impregnable fortress did not in themselves secure peace, the title Servant of the Empire, bestowed upon Mara for her services to Tsuranuani, gave her honorary adoption into the emperor's own family. The imperial whites were as likely to march in her defense, for by the honor central to Tsurani culture, insult or threat to her was as an offense visited upon the Light of Heaven's blood family. "You seem delightfully self-satisfied this morning, wife," Hakanu said in her ear. Mara tilted her head back into his shoulder. Her lips parted for his kiss. If, deep in her heart, she missed the wild passion she had known with the red-haired barbarian slave who had fathered Justin, she had come to terms with that loss. Hakanu was a kindred spirit who shared her political shrewdness and inclination toward innovation. He was quick-witted, kind, and devoted to her, as well as tolerant of her headstrong nature, as few men of her culture were inclined to be. With him, Mara shared voice as an equal. Marriage had brought a deep and abiding contentment, and though her interest in the great game of the council had lessened, she no longer played out of fear. Hirkanu's kiss warmed the moment like wine, until a high-pitched shout split the quiet. Mara straightened up from Hirkanu's embrace, her smile mirrored in her husband's dark eyes. "Ayaki," they concluded simultaneously. The next moment, galloping hoofbeats thundered down the trail by the lake. Hirkanu tightened his arm around his wife's shoulder as the two of them leaned out to view the antics of Mara's older son and heir.